This message comes from Travel Nevada. Need a little space? They know a place, the big heart of Nevada. There's always something new to see because Nevada has plenty of space to just be. Plan your trip at travelnevada.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Equinix, the world's digital infrastructure company, with the expertise, infrastructure, and partners to turn your dreams into your biggest achievements. Equinix makes the modern digital world possible. Learn more at equinix.com/solutions.
Hey y'all, I'm Lori Lizarraga, and this is Ask Code Switch, the show where we answer your questions about race and identity. Today's question comes from Robbie Strunk, a college student calling from his home in Alaska.
Hi, my name is Robbie. I'm from a rural Yupik village in southwestern Alaska with a population of under 800 people. The closest city is 400 miles away and only accessible by plane.
Now, this may not surprise you, but we don't get a lot of emails from rural Alaska. Robbie is from one of the most remote parts of the country, so that got my attention right away. Robbie said that a few years ago, he moved to a city in Alaska to go to college, and that's where he got his first job as a research tech at a renewable energy lab.
As the only Alaska Native person on staff, and one of the few who've experienced life in rural Alaska, I was invited to lead tours for visitors of our research lab. I agreed because that's why I wanted to work there in the first place, to make a positive difference for my community and be a voice for Alaska Native people and rural Alaskans.
Robbie said that getting this job was an honor. But when his supervisor, a white woman, came to him with a concern, things kind of changed. She'd been told by other coworkers not to tokenize him, not to make Robbie the, quote, token native.
She asked me if I felt tokenized, and at that point I hadn't. But I very much knew the demographics of my coworkers and knew that I'm the only Native person in this white-dominated science field. I didn't know what to do. All I know is that I now second-guess everything I do at the lab, wondering if I'm working on projects because I am Native or if it's because I'm actually qualified to do the job. What should I do in this situation, and what have people done in the past? What would you do when you feel like the token at the workplace?
Robbie strikes a very familiar kind of emotional chord within me. I think a lot of us will have no trouble remembering being this young and this eager, only to later see ourselves as the diversity hire. But Robbie's story isn't just a conversation about tokenization like you've heard before. He's working on renewable energy for Alaska in Alaska, and still, somehow, the lone Alaska Native person feels like the outsider.
Tokenization isn't something that happens by the person being tokenized, if that's the situation. It's being done by the supervisor who's making the decisions.
A former tribal chief unpacks how the history of Alaska Natives plays into power dynamics for people like Robbie in the workplace. That's after the break on Ask Code Switch. We'll be right back.
This message comes from our sponsor, Grainger. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Grainger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Vuori. Jump into a new perspective on performance apparel. Vuori makes products that stand the test of time and hope to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives, empowering your best life in clothing that can be worn for just about any activity, from running to yoga. Visit Vuori.com/NPR to receive 20% off your first purchase and enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. Discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself, like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can take off the mask. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NPR.
It's a high-stakes election year, so it's not enough to just follow along. You need to understand what's happening so you are fully informed come November. Every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast, our political reporters break down important stories and backstories from the campaign trail so you understand why it matters to you. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Lori. This is Ask Code Switch. To answer this question from our listener in Alaska about feeling tokenized, I reached out to someone with a bit more perspective on navigating the white workplace as an Indigenous person. I gave him a call at home.
You could walk, you know, 70 miles in any direction from my village, and you're just in nature. It's a vast wilderness, and we still live in relationship with the land.
That's Nitzai Thai. He's a senior scientist at the Center for Alaska Native Health Research at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
I come from a village called Vashenko. In English, it's called Arctic Village, Alaska. It's in the far, far north.
A lot of Thai's work focuses on the preservation of his native language.
I did not grow up speaking my language. I was probably the first generation of Gwich'in people from my village who were not spoken to our language.
That has done a lot of work to learn about the history of his community in Alaska, too, and to share that history with others.
So what have our Indigenous communities actually been through with this history of assimilation, with a history of oppression, segregation, denied our right to our way of life that we've lived for thousands of years? So there's a lot that we're still fighting for our basic human rights, but also in the realm of protecting our young people. It's all connected.
I was really eager to play Robbie's call for Thai and to get his reaction to hearing Robbie's voice and his question.
What even is tokenization? Like, what the heck am I doing these tours? Because I'm Native, am I doing it because I'm doing good work here at the lab? It made me feel like I wasn't worthy of working there. What should I do in this situation?
Any initial thoughts, Thai?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll just say to him directly, you know, you are absolutely qualified. Otherwise, you would not have been hired into the position that you're in. So that is something that you should not question. And I would go even further to say that you probably have qualifications that exceed many of the other people who may have went through the same kind of Western educational program that you went through to gain your qualifications, because you're coming with the whole wealth of Indigenous knowledge that you've acquired through being engaged on the land in Alaska within Alaskan communities. So I really think that, you know, what this sounds like to me is basically a supervisor who just was themselves inexperienced in handling situations like this. And I think they could have handled the situation, you know, a little bit differently for sure, in a way that wouldn't have created this dynamic then for Robbie to have to be second-guessing himself.
Can you talk to me about what people outside the Alaska Native community might misunderstand about your experiences or history?
Like, even us as Alaska Native people, I didn't know until I was in college that there were boarding schools.
Wow.
I didn't know that Alaskan people had this experience.
But that's not knowledge you grew up with.
No, we didn't grow up with it. And so it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I sat my mom down and said, did you know about like these boarding schools and all this stuff? And that was the first time I learned that my own mother had been sent away as a child.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I was in my early 30s till like all this stuff really, really sunk in. And I started to connect the dots between you know, a lot of the social challenges that we face and a lot of the addictions that persist within our communities and a lot of the pain and suffering that these different generations had experienced and went through with racism, with boarding schools, with segregation, with like all these experiences, then I think there's just so much pain in them that a lot of our parents' generation and grandparents just didn't want to talk to us about what they had been through. And so for a lot of folks in my generation, we didn't know. And because of my health research work that I do, we're now seeing a lot more clearly how language, culture, identity are protective factors for our young people. And I think that that's the one thing that I'm so appreciative of with this younger generation is that even conversations like we're having right now are a lot more transparent. It is fully okay for us to bring our full identity, language, knowledge into the workplace, no matter what that workplace is. And it's okay for us to contribute and share, because I think that I know that Indigenous peoples within our knowledge systems and our experiences have a lot to teach and share the broader community.
Absolutely. More than anything, Ty, what is your advice for Robbie? I mean, what should you do when you feel like the token at the workplace?
So I think one of the most important advices that is quite simple, but that was provided to me when I first became a young chief by one of our elders. I was really excited because I thought he was going to tell me a story like he usually does, but he basically told me, don't quit. And I got this message right away, which is like, okay, as an Indigenous person becoming a professional, becoming a leader, you're going to face moments and situations where you're just going to feel like this is too much. I don't want to have to deal with this no more. So it's a balancing act of kind of like in situation by situation, determining like, is this one that it's really important for me to stick with, or is my time and energy better put somewhere else so that I could be more productive for what it is that I'm wanting to contribute to for our community, for our people. So I think, you know, look at things as an opportunity to grow and navigate through a situation that might be making you feel uncomfortable. But also, don't doubt yourself. You know, it's so important for us to trust our intuition, our heart, what it is that we're feeling, and also to have the courage to communicate in a respectful and humble way when we feel like something is not right.
I can tell you, Robbie, I understand how hard it can be to speak up when things don't feel right. But I'm really, really glad that you did. And that you sent us this question. I hope that Ty's advice resonates with you and that you'll keep in touch with us. We want to hear from you. Until then, that is our show. You can send us your Ask Code Switch questions on Instagram at NPR Code Switch. If email's more your thing, ours is codeswitch at NPR.org. You can subscribe to the podcast on the NPR app or wherever you're listening right now. If you'd like to support our work, you can sign up for Code Switch Plus. It's small, but it really makes a difference for us. And you get to listen to every Code Switch episode without any ads. You can check it out at plus.npr.org/codeswitch. And thanks to everyone who is already a Code Switch Plus subscriber. This episode was produced by Skylar Swenson. It was edited by Courtney Stein. Our fact check was done by Barkley Walsh. Our engineer was Kwesi Lee. And a big thanks to our listener, Robbie Strunk, for sending us your question. Also want to say a very special thanks to Lauren Gonzalez, our project manager, as well as Cher Vincent, Yolanda Sanguini, and the entire content development team for helping make this series possible. Finally, a big shout out to the rest of the Code Switch Massive, Christina Kala, Javier Lopez, Jess Kung, Courtney Stein, Dahlia Mortada, Verilyn Williams, Jasmine Romero, Jean Demby, and B.A. Parker. This is Ask Code Switch. I'm Lori Lizarraga. Call your work bestie.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Boll & Branch. Experience your best sleep in the softest organic cotton sheets. For a limited time, get 20% off and free shipping on your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code NPR. Exclusions apply. See site for details. This message comes from Random House Children's Books with The Glass Girl.
Grief, anxiety, pressure, Bella finds ways to cope until she doesn't. From the author of number one New York Times bestseller and TikTok sensation Girl in Pieces comes a raw, heart-wrenching novel exploring the forces pushing young women toward addiction and what it takes to help them get better. Crack your life and heart wide open with The Glass Girl by Kathleen Glasgow, available now.